If you're talking about it,
it's always about the money. Everything else is just conversation.
We're talking about it.
No excuses. Just find a way to get it done.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
All right. Good morning, Paul J. and Chris. Idaho Talks Live underway. Stories dominating this morning's news. The two shootings of blacks by police officers. Tulsa, Oklahoma. A man was shot, Aaron Crutcher, by a female police officer.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of, there are five basic things that people disagree with. We'll get to those in a minute. Then the other one, the Charlotte police shooting, Keith Lamont Scott. People who think the shooting was unjust say he was reaching for a book. And the police say no, he was reaching for a gun. And now apparently...
this is the one in Charlotte?
Yeah.
See, the
apparently they found a gun but no book.
Yeah, the early story said the Charlotte police chief says officers gave a black man clear multiple warnings to drop a handgun before fatally shooting him, but he was just reaching for it?
Well, they say he was reading a book is what they say.
Yeah.
Scott's family said he was reading a book when he was shot, which seems, and I wasn't there, so I don't know, mm-hmm. but it just seems if police were barking commands at you, if they were indeed doing that, that you wouldn't be reading a book.
You know,
and officers did not find a book. They found a gun.
Exactly. Charlotte Mecklenburg Police Chief Kerr Putney said during a news conference this morning that officers were searching for a suspect Tuesday when they saw 43-year-old Keith Lamont Scott exit a vehicle with a handgun. Now, he says the officers... Or this is Scott, not Scott, but the police chief. The police chief says that the officers told Scott to drop the gun and that he got out of the vehicle a second time, still carrying the gun. And he says the man was shot because he posed a threat. He says it's time to change the narrative because I can tell you from the facts that the story's a little bit different as to how it's been portrayed so far, especially through social media, he said. His comments were an apparent reference to a profanity-laced hour-long video that a woman claiming to be Scott's daughter posted to Facebook soon after the shooting, saying that her father had an unspecified disability and was unarmed. In it, she appears to be at the shooting scene, which is surrounded by yellow police tape as she yells at officers. The woman did not respond to Facebook messages, and her claims could not immediately be verified. It also was not clear if she witnessed the shooting. The family plans a news conference today.
Yeah, shortly.
In the neighborhood where the shooting occurred. The officer who shot Scott, Brentley Vinson, also black, has been placed on administrative leave, as is standard procedure in such cases. Vinson has been with the department for 2 years. Now, police said the protest broke out about 7 p.m. Tuesday, about 3 hours after the shooting at an apartment complex on the city's northeast side.
Yeah, they were trying to serve a warrant for a different man.
To somebody else.
Yeah.
Authorities used tear gas to disperse protesters in an overnight demonstration that left about a dozen officers injured in North Carolina's largest city and shut down part of a highway. A lot of people throwing things like bottles and rocks. The protests continued into this morning when TV footage showed dozens of protesters on Interstate 85 apparently looting semi-trucks and setting their contents on fire on the highway. And see, this is another one of those things. During a protest, you kind of sometimes have to watch what you do, because if you're attempting in the protest to be heard and to get people to understand your side, if you start burning things and looting things, they're not going to be on your side.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what your argument is. When you start doing that, all of a sudden, public opinion is against you. The police chief said that 16 officers suffered injuries and police cars were damaged. After people began throwing rocks, one officer was hit in the face. Photos and TV video showed police firing tear gas to break up the crowd, and some officers showed up in riot gear.
Yeah, the one thing I saw was when they tied up traffic,
mm-hmm.
And then they broke into the back of a semi-trailer, dragged a bunch of stuff out of it, and set it on fire.
Right. That was perhaps excessive. I mean, stopping traffic is one thing.
Well, but the guy driving the truck had nothing to do with that.
Yeah, you're going to get attention if you stop traffic, and so that's all you have to do. You don't have to start, you know, setting fire to things and ruining people's livelihood. By 5 o'clock this morning, the streets were quiet with no protesters in sight, and Interstate 85 was moving again. Broken glass and rocks littered the ground where a police car had been vandalized. Just 5 miles away, wooden pallets barricaded the entrance of a Walmart that had apparently been looted. The unrest in Charlotte came just hours after, as you said, another demonstration in Tulsa, Oklahoma, over the shooting there of an unarmed black man by police. Charlotte police officers went to the complex about 4 p.m. looking for a suspect with an outstanding warrant when they saw Scott, who was not the suspect they were looking for, inside a car, department spokesman Keith Treatley said in a statement. Officers say they saw Scott get out of the car with a gun and then get back in, Treatley said.
Right.
When officers approached, the man exited the car with the gun again. At that point, officers deemed the man a threat, and at least one fired a weapon. Scott was taken to Carolina's Medical Center and pronounced dead. Detectives recovered a gun at the scene and were interviewing witnesses. Charlotte Mayor Jennifer Roberts appealed for calm and patience as the shooting is investigated, a bit late, as it turns out. And in Tulsa, hundreds of people rallied outside police headquarters.
Yeah, let's get to Tulsa in a minute. We have to take a break first. KBOI News Time, 8:45.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 3, listen to Nate on 670 KBOI.
All right, two more shootings of armed or unarmed black men by police, one in Tulsa, one in Charlotte. We talked about the Charlotte one. In Tulsa, there are five basic things where everybody differs. Hands up versus refusing commands. Multiple police cameras, including one mounted in a squad car and a helicopter, captured the Crutcher shooting on tape. Now, we've all seen it. He can be seen with his hands raised above his head prior to his death.
Now, he does keep moving toward the driver's side of the car.
Right. The attorney representing the Tulsa police officer said, and it was a woman who shot him, she's afraid he could have a gun in his pocket. He's got loose clothing on. So she draws her gun and says, "Sir, I want you to get down on your knees, get down on your knees." He refuses that command. Now, the attorney for the Crutcher family said, "Why is an unarmed black man who has committed no crime, who only needed a helping hand, given bullets in his lungs?" All right, number two, was he high? Since the shooting, there are reports suggesting Crutcher was high on PCP. In response, Tulsa Police Sergeant David Walker, the department's lead homicide detective, said that there was PCP in the SUV.
You ever notice how you never hear about PCP until someone is killed by police?
Yeah.
I mean, you never hear about anybody using it ever for any reason.
That's very true. The attorney representing the police officer said he had a hollow look on his face, kind of a thousand-yard stare, so to speak, and would not communicate. The officer could tell he was not normal. And then the attorney for the dead man's family says, "We don't know if it's true or not. We're looking into that. Let's assume that it was." You have to ask yourself, what is the proper way to handle a situation where someone is acting in a strange way? Point. Open versus closed. Now, this is the thing I was talking about to you earlier. Was his window open or not? Because the police officer said he was reaching inside of his car, and she thought he was reaching for a gun. You said he could have been reaching for a driver's license or anything else. And the Benjamin Crump, the attorney for the Crutcher family, said, "How could he be reaching into the car if the window is up? There's blood on the glass. The window is up. There's a streak of blood on the window. It's coming down the car door." Now, the video, they say, is insufficient to tell whether or not the window is up. I saw part of the video where it looked like the window was up. Officer Shelby said his left hand goes into the window. Officer Turnbrough, another officer, also saw it. Both of them reacted simultaneously, Turnbrough firing his taser and Betty Shelby shooting her gun. And now, was he armed or unarmed? The police say it's true based on her experience and training. The person posed an immediate threat of harm, and anyone present could have been harmed. She thought if she didn't take action,
okay,
everyone would be in the peril of serious body harm.
I guess that's the one thing I really don't understand when it comes to police police stopping somebody.
Yeah.
They always say, well,
what you're gonna say.
Well, the way he was moving, it looked like he might have a gun. It looked like he was about to reach for a gun. It looked like he might do something wrong. And so I thought the easiest way to control the situation was to shoot him. Now, I wasn't there, and I have never taken police training,
right.
So I don't necessarily know when it's appropriate to shoot and when it's not. But I just can't. I never can fathom the thing is, I thought he might have a gun, so I shot him just to be safe.
Yeah. And then there's the thing, said an officer called him a bad dude.
Which is absolutely neither here nor there.
Yeah, Tiffany Crutcher, his sister and her attorneys blasted Tulsa police over what they say is an offensive comment. Well, yeah. While acknowledging the remark, Wood said it did not impact his client's actions. They say, bad dudes, it doesn't matter. If you don't follow commands and you're a male, I guess you're a bad dude. He said they could tell in the helicopter that he was refusing to follow commands. And then the attorney for the Crutcher family says, why was it they prejudged him as a big bad dude? Why is it that certain parts of the community get treated differently? No negotiation. No consideration or benefit of the doubt given. And once again,
mm-hmm.
we would ask the question when somebody tells
right.
you to stop.
Well, Police Chief Chuck Jordan said,
I know we don't understand. We're not black. We haven't been there. We haven't been profiled by police. I know you'd be scared to death.
Police Chief Chuck Jordan said Monday that Crutcher had no weapon on him or in his SUV when he was shot. Shelby's attorney Scott Wood said Crutcher was not following the officer's commands, and that Shelby was concerned because he kept reaching for his pocket as if he were carrying a weapon. He has his hands up and is facing the car and looks at Shelby, and his left hand goes through the car window, and that's when she fired her shot, Wood told the Tulsa World newspaper. But attorneys for Crutcher's family challenged that claim yesterday, presenting an enlarged photo from the footage that appeared to show exactly that the Crutcher's window was rolled up.
It's weird.
So they're trying to figure out whether this is a violation of his civil rights. I mean, he's dead.
Heard this song before. It's got to stop. It's 8:56.
If you're talking about it,
it's always about the money. Everything else is just conversation.
We're talking about it.
No excuses. Just find a way to get it done.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
Paul J. and Chris, we're back. KBOI News Time, 9:06. Talking about the shooting in Charlotte. One of the protesters made what I think is kind of a valid point. How come this guy was shot dead and the guy that planted 5 bombs in the Northeast was shot in the leg?
I don't know. I guess they were further away from him. I'm not sure. I don't think they were aiming for his legs.
You don't?
No. They usually aim for the center of gravity the center of mass.
Yeah. Anyway, kind of odd.
If that's your leg, then
we'll be feeding that guy till he's 90.
Oddly shaped.
Yeah. Amazing.
This is kind of interesting. And I mentioned this to you during the commercial. Lois Shelby is the mother-in-law of the officer, Betty Shelby, who shot the guy in Charlotte or in Tulsa.
Said she wouldn't hurt a fly.
Yeah. She says she wouldn't harm anyone. She did just shoot a guy in the line of duty.
Who died?
She probably means she wouldn't harm anyone without cause.
Yeah.
Because she would.
Chicago. Whenever black guys are shot by, the shooter in Charlotte was black, and the shooter in Tulsa was a white female. whenever a white person shoots a black person, mm-hmm. a lot of our audience brings up, you know,
the fact that black people shoot each other
in Chicago all
the
time.
These should be taken on a case by case basis.
No question.
You can't say, well, why are you complaining about this when so many of these things are going on?
Well,
you know, it would be like if you had a store and somebody came in and shoplifted a bunch of stuff and you called the police and the police said, hey, don't you know we have murders and kidnappings to solve?
Yeah.
This is wrong, too.
Yeah. Chicago. Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson expected to announce this afternoon that his police department in Chicago is going to hire 970 new police. The announcement is being billed as a major policy address. The hires, which will take place over the span of 2 years, include 516 patrol officers, 92 field training officers, 200 detectives, 112 sergeants, and 50 lieutenants.
I mean, are they due to put that many more on the job, or did they just finally decide that
they need to do something,
that they have no control whatsoever?
Yeah, the new hiring announcement is on top of any existing departmental vacancies and will increase the total authorized strength of the police department. I'm looking in the story for how many police do you suppose there are in Chicago?
Right now?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Chicago got about close to 4 million people, probably more in the metro area.
Yeah.
Let's say 5,000.
12,500.
Okay, that's more than I thought.
Yeah.
And they need 900 more.
They've had a brutal year. Yeah, so they're 1,000, basically 1,000 more.
All right.
So it'll be 13,500. Weeks ago, the city's homicide toll for the year topped 491.
And see, that is a lot.
The total of all of 2015. It now stands at more than 500 and is on track, if they continue to kill each other at this rate, to reach 700 before the year's end.
Here's
it's amazing.
An instant message from Dave of Boise. He says, it's one thing when there is a gun involved, but when there is no gun in sight and a bunch of cops around to take control of the situation, there is no reason to use lethal force. These cops seem to think they are in a John Wayne movie where the judge tells them to bring them in alive, but they never do because the bad guys always resist. The difference is that in the movies, the sheriff would be strung up if he shot an unarmed bad guy. There has to be some consequences for the officer's reaction. They are not always the right choice, and they should be punished accordingly. Not hung, of course, or hanged, but if the public sees the police that are in the wrong get punished, it would calm the masses and relieve a little pressure on everybody. At the end of the day, cops are humans just like everybody else, and they are not immune to mistakes. There is a guy in Tulsa, as a matter of fact, a year or so ago, who was sentenced to prison. He was an off-duty cop or an ex-cop. I can't remember which one.
Yeah, off-duty. I think
he was just an off-duty cop. And he shot a black man, and he claimed that he reached for his taser, grabbed his gun by mistake, and then shot, apparently not realizing that he was holding a gun and not a taser. That seems hard to do, but I wasn't there, once again.
Nor do I know what a taser feels like.
No, I've never touched one.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, touched either end of one.
Is it like a gun? Does it have a trigger and a, you know, I have no idea. So anyway, the story is going to be the main controlling story for the remainder of the week.
H.D. McCall says, my question, how many police shootings are there where the suspect is injured but not killed?
Yeah,
are police
point.
Trained to shoot to kill or to disarm or injure? No, they're trained. Again, they're trained to, once they have made the decision or once the opportunity has come up where they have to shoot or they feel that they have to fire their weapon, that they are told to aim for the, as I said, the center of mass, mm-hmm. which on most people is their chest or thereabouts.
Chest or stomach.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he does make a point. We don't hear about the ones that aren't fatal.
But, you know, and people.
Or are they all fatal? I don't think they are.
As people have pointed out, let's say that somebody actually has a gun and is intending to shoot you with it, and there's no question whatsoever. you shoot, and they said, well, why do they have to shoot the guy, you know, 22 times or something? Well, you've got maybe four police, and they're all reacting to it, and every one of them, you know, shoots until they're sure that the guy is down. Because if you shoot somebody one time and then stand back to admire your handiwork, chances are that person might not even know they got shot and will be shooting you.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's part of the police training, because it has to be, where you can't just assume that, you know, that somebody's been subdued because they're maybe not moving.
We're going to talk about people in the National Football League, in the NBA, and their reactions to these shootings.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are going, the NBA is like, you know, 85% African-American.
Mm-hmm.
So they're wondering what it's going to look like this year. And we'll take a little peek into that when we come back.
Remember, you are listening to Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
KBOI Rewards Code Tulsa, T-U-L-S-A, Tulsa. Go to 670KBOI.com, enter Tulsa, earn today's 5,000 rewards points. All right, got some business to take care of. Time for the third annual Boise State Watch Party at the Village Cinema.
Coming up this Saturday, Boise State, of course, playing Oregon State of the Pac-12.
And the only way to win tickets is right here, right now, from 670KBOI.
Be caller number 7 right now at this number, 336-3711, 336-3711. Be caller number 7, and you will have a pair of tickets to see the game on the huge screen at the Village Cinema.
Brought to you by Peterson Auto Group. Used cars, they're just better.
And brought to you by 670 KBOI. Quickly again, caller number 7 at 336-3711 will get a pair of tickets to that showing.
Yeah. All right. Colin Kaepernick came out yesterday and said he has received death threats over his anthem protest.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that. He told Nick Wagner of ESPN.com that he's received death threats via multiple means since he began his protest. Wagner added Kaepernick has not informed 49er security about the threats because his feeling is if something were to happen to him, it would only be proving his point.
That's an interesting point of view when people are threatening to kill you.
Yeah.
Hey, go ahead and kill me. It'll just prove that I'm right. But you'll be dead.
Since the 49ers' final preseason game against San Diego, Kaepernick has taken a knee as the national anthem plays as a means of protesting various racial and social injustices happening in the United States. And, you know, this week we have a couple of very high-profile mm-hmm. things. All right, now the NBA. I'm sorry, my computer just went, yeah, try to read this. Mm. NBA players Chris Paul, Dwayne Wade, and more reacting now to the Crutcher shooting. this thing is...
That's right.
Just terrible. We must come together more. We must show our strength as a black community more, or we will continue to wake up to stories of us being shot down like we don't matter. We must show that we matter more, and we must do more.
Mm-hmm.
That statement from Dwayne Wade. And Chris Paul wrote, "Our country is better than this. Enough is enough." Rajon Rondo included a silhouette of a man with his hands up. Tell me, how does an unarmed black man whose car is stalled and needs help get shot and killed by police officers while the New York...
They're going to fall back on the old PCP thing.
Yeah, and this, while the New York and New Jersey bombing suspect who actually shot at police gets apprehended and is alive. Pretty good question right there.
Well, and it's like I said, I mean, they were shooting at him too, but they were shooting at him from further away.
Yeah, probably.
Which is probably why he was hit in the leg and Was it the leg and the arm or just the leg?
Well, it said just the leg, although...
Although when we saw him being loaded onto the gurney the other morning, and
it looked like he had a
lot of blood on his arm, but it could have been from his leg, so, yeah. You know.
Russell Westbrook posted a lengthy, passionate caption from John Gray, a religious figure, about it. Former Milwaukee Bucks big man Larry Sanders chimed in via TMZ saying he is scared for his children. They're starting a terrible cycle of fear. So the NBA
reminds me of the old days when you'd say, stay in our neighborhood because you don't know what the other people in the other neighborhood are going to do to you.
You know what? My mom used to say that to me when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Back in the, 40s, 50s.
Mm-hmm. And, a lot of that's just to get you to stay close to home. But
no question.
Especially in the bigger cities where you'd have, I got a friend who's Irish that comes from Boston, and he grew up in a neighborhood where everybody for a few blocks around was Irish.
Yeah. Well, that was that way when I was a kid.
And then you went over a few blocks, and everybody was Italian.
Yep.
And then you went a few blocks more, and everybody was Jewish.
Yep.
And then a little further out you went, and everybody was black. You know, they had just these completely... not segregated lawfully, but basically segregated voluntarily, all these different neighborhoods.
Common customs, common food, common language.
Yeah.
It was just that way back in the day. Because when people came to this country, they sought out other people who talked their language and did all that stuff.
And to a certain extent, people still do. You need help. Especially when you're in some place new, you need mentoring and different things to figure out how to exist in a certain society. Like if you and I moved to Finland, we wouldn't be ready to operate right away. We'd have to find out what exactly is it the Finnish people do that we don't understand.
Exactly. All right, we do have a winner. No more phone calls, please, on the tickets. We do have a winner. We do have our caller number 7.
And
the winner is Tony Anderson.
Well done, Tony. The disgruntled vet wrote in to say, I don't believe stopping traffic or commerce is part of the First Amendment. That isn't peaceful. It can still be a peaceful protest, even if it's interrupting traffic or commerce, because generally a protest is going to interrupt something.
Yeah, or it's not a protest.
Yeah. And if a protest is too peaceful, you kind of run into the point that no one pays attention to it.
Yeah. But do they have to drag stuff out of the truck and set it on fire?
Don't like that part. Don't like the looting and breaking the law.
KBOI News Time, 9:26.
Free. Find the secret to happiness at Leisure Time, 9710 West Fairview in Boise. Just look for the big American flag.
Leisure Time!
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 10, listen to Rush on 670 KBOI.
Paul J. and Chris, Wednesday morning, 9:36. More shootings, more reaction on KBOI.
Disgruntled vet wrote in a couple more times. He said, first of all, the terrorist was shot in the leg because the cops in New York need more practice.
Not funny, but it's funny.
And let's see, the other one he wanted to, because I made a comment when he talked about it not being.
You said he was far away.
Yeah, you said it wasn't a peaceful protest, and I said it was kind of peaceful, because you can block traffic in a protest. I don't think you should do it for 2 or 3 days.
Okay, but what about the guy standing on top of the police car kicking in the windshield?
Yeah, that's...
what do you do to him?
That's not a peaceful protest.
You can't do anything to him. You got to let him do it.
You arrest him.
Yeah?
You don't have to let him vandalize property.
Well,
and the disgruntled vet says...
I don't think they did anything.
The disgruntled vet says, I have the right to freedom of movement. Their rights aren't more important than mine. Their rights end when they violate mine.
Not sure how that works. I know that works in some cases.
When you have civil disobedience, libertarian civil disobedience, essentially what you've... And a lot of times with civil disobedience, they call the police and inform them, here's what we're going to be doing today.
Mm-hmm.
We know it's illegal, but we're going to be doing it as a peaceful protest, and so we would appreciate it if you didn't show up and draw your guns on us because we're not going to cause any trouble. But the police generally do. And when people are practicing civil disobedience, you have to expect to be arrested.
So you're talking Westboro Baptist Church stuff. You always knew when they were going to do something in advance of when they did it.
Mm-hmm. That's a protest.
So and the
To a certain extent, that is a peaceful protest, but to a certain extent, they were also reprehensible.
No question.
And let's see. Okay, we got another one here. H.G. McCall wrote back to say what Kaepernick does is legal, free speech and freedom to protest, despite how distasteful he is being. But, duh, death threats are not. Kind of stupid to get in such a tizzy to send death threats. What's going on in this country? So much violent reaction. Used to be folks could have difference of opinions and not kill each other.
And have some dialogue.
And we like that. We like it when people have difference of opinion and you don't have to kill anyone. You don't even have to tell someone they're stupid.
Right.
Just explain it to them in such a way that, you know, if they are of a mind to, they will agree with you. And if they still disagree, they'll explain to you why. And that's discourse. And it's fairly simple to do. You don't just have to kill someone who has a different political view.
Yeah, and everybody who has a different view than you, not necessarily stupid or naive or, you know, all the names that I get called daily.
Now, Dallas wrote in to say, and this is a lot of people's opinion, that there are plenty of people who say, you know, if you put yourself in a position to be shot by the police, you've already made a lot of stupid decisions in order to get there in the first place.
You agree with that?
It depends.
I kind of agree.
It depends.
That.
If you're pulled over while you're driving because they just want to see what you're up to, that could be a different thing.
Yeah.
But Dallas says, you know, funny thing about all these shootings and so-called police brutality cases, they all involve someone breaking the damn law. And notice how all these whiny, I'll say, rear-end crybaby rich people never say anything positive about trying to turn people from breaking the law. They all bandwagon and blame the people protecting them and that put their life on the line selflessly for strangers. If people stopped breaking the law, we wouldn't have all this trouble, but we are not Mayberry, and we do not live in a movie.
Okay, now...
which is a good point.
Guy in Tulsa, what law did he break? I mean, his car broke down on the road. The law he broke was not obeying an officer.
Yeah, not obeying an officer. Okay. And according to them, and I still don't know how you tell, I'm not an expert in this sort of thing, but... apparently, he looked like he was on angel dust, which is what, you know, PCP used to be called back in the 70s, I know. Because, you know, I watched TV back then,
but,
too.
That's not a death sentence, is it, to be on PCP?
Depends on what you do while you're on PCP.
I guess.
Now, but the deal
I'm
is...
I'm not defending
it's like we've
anything.
Said, it's like we've said, the police are not always right. Sometimes they're wrong. Sometimes they show up at a situation and they interpret it incorrectly. However... if everybody does what they say, that gives the police time to sort the whole thing out. So if they say, stop, you know, even if you think it's ridiculous, stop. I would say that to white people, black people, anybody.
Yeah.
I would certainly hope that they wouldn't shoot anyone unnecessarily or by mistake or because they panicked or whatever. But they're not perfect. And clearly the public isn't, you know, either.
Yeah.
But it's like we've always preached that. We've always said, you know, it doesn't matter what you think about the situation. If the police are barking orders at you, just do whatever they say.
And figure it out tomorrow when you're still alive.
Yeah, that's what we have, you know, public defenders and other lawyers and whatnot.
But,
it might not turn out well, but you aren't going to get shot generally if you're doing exactly what they tell you.
Yeah, but some people say, we are.
And I say generally because it could happen.
But that driving while black thing, you got to admit.
Yeah, well.
After a while.
And this is the deal. We're guys,
get really, really tiring.
I mean, you think how many times you and I have been pulled over in our entire lives.
I know.
I don't remember the last time I was pulled over. It's been a few years ago, though. Okay, so I've gone a few years without being pulled over. Last time I think I was taking Claire and her friend to something they had to do over at Boise State, probably a high school. This is how long ago it was.
Yeah.
Probably a high school football game because they were both in the band. And I took a wide right turn there when you're getting off the connector and then you end up on going up Capitol.
Sure.
I took the wide right turn and got into the far left lane because chances are somebody's going to cut you off so you can't get over if you don't do that. So I did it quickly, but you're still supposed to, according to the laws, you know, according to traffic laws, you're supposed to get into the nearest lane and then signal and move over.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got a ticket because I didn't do it that way. I was just trying to save myself, you know, a couple of seconds and got a ticket for that. But that's been several years ago and I haven't been pulled over since. But some of these guys report that despite the fact that they're never given a ticket, they get pulled over 50 times a year.
Well, yeah, any time they drive at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
you know.
Well, and that's
wherever.
That is something I'm familiar with. I at 4 o'clock in the morning, generally when I'm driving here, yeah. I have been followed by police before.
I have too.
But it's not a big deal.
No.
They
just want to stay away.
Well, the fact is, I think if you look like you're actually going somewhere and not just driving around looking for trouble, that they at least the police in Boise will leave you alone.
Yeah.
And again, I don't know if it would be different if I were black.
Well, might be. Yeah, I mean that's something we can't know.
I mean, this isn't
a
town.
We can't know that.
This is not a town known for racial tension, but it's also a town known for being about what 85% white.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt about that.
And most of the other 15% aren't black either. Quickly here, Francis. A Boise says the bomb guy, maybe the cops were afraid if they aimed higher, he would explode. Maybe they thought he was wired. We really don't know. Amazing how all of us at such a distance think we know what happened in any of these cases. And Francis is absolutely right. We don't, even despite eyewitness accounts, we never know exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Because eyewitness accounts, as we've found out through years of police work, are quite often completely false.
And we've all sat
I swear to God, the car was green, yeah. and it had four doors. And then they catch the guy, and the car is blue, and it's got two doors.
Yeah, and we've all sat through those classes in college where they come in, do something really quick,
yeah.
and leave, and then you have to write down what happened.
Right. And everybody writes something completely different.
No question.
And then also, there was that show on a couple of years ago where they were randomly going up to people in Central Park and saying, okay, stand here now, talk to this guy, and I want you to do this. Now turn around for a second. And they'd actually switch people that he was talking to. Now turn back around and tell him this, and he'd turn around and wouldn't notice that it was a different person he was talking to.
It's amazing. All right, KBOI News Time, 9:49. Let's hit the phones. Bob in Napa. Bob, good morning.
Morning, guys. Somebody made the comment here a moment ago about driving while black.
Right.
You suppose that you're an officer, and 90% of the people that you dealt with in dangerous, serious situations were Swedish. Wouldn't you be a little bit tense every time you pulled over somebody that was blonde hair and had blue eyes?
Yeah,
I mean, it's just these guys are put in situations constantly where they have a tenth of a second to make a decision. And maybe they don't always get it right. If they had 2 seconds to think about it, maybe they'd do something different.
Yeah, that's the old profiling thing, you know.
Well, it's called survival.
Well,
you know,
yeah.
if the people that are all you perceive as a threat, you're going to look at them a little harder than you are somebody that you don't. I mean, that's just the way it is. And, you know, I think these people bring this on themselves. Maybe not the individual, but the group. Okay.
Well, I agree.
People look at them that way.
I agree. There's a cultural difference, and we could discuss, you know, for 2 hours, you know, where that cultural difference comes from. That, you know, immediately after the Civil War, all these people were herded into different places and told, "Make your own society. We're not going to help you." And so, you know, they grew up completely in different cultures. And, you know, a lot of them, factories were opening in places like Chicago, Detroit, and Philadelphia. So they moved there and got in their own neighborhoods, not because they wanted to, but because they weren't allowed to be in the other neighborhoods. So there's a certain amount of this that I'm sure that the country brought upon itself. But yes, as an individual, I think you're right that you do have a choice on how you act in any given situation.
Well, except for the cop, it's a lot more basic than that. It's whether he goes home that night or not.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Well, in a lot of those neighborhoods, it's for everybody that way.
So. About this, but it comes down to survival.
All right. Thanks.
Have a good day.
You bet. Bob.
Patrick of Caldwell says, your right to free speech ends when you infringe on any one of my rights. For example, you have the right to protest at the Capitol, but it is illegal to stop me from entering, just as you have no right to stop me on the road. And again, quite often, as I pointed out, during a civil disobedience, you're doing something that you don't have a right to do, which is why you're arrested. You have a right to protest, but if you're going to break the law while you're protesting, you're generally doing that on purpose to get either some attention or some publicity.
True.
Dave of Boise says, I have pointed this out before, but has anybody ever seen all the non-lethal tools cops wear around their belly? The gun should be the last tool pulled in a non-lethal situation. but the gun is almost always the first choice. I have had guns held on me after being pulled over for a traffic violation before the cops even asked my name, and that just escalates the situation immediately.
It's not fun to have
a gun pointed at you. No one I know likes having a gun pointed at them. I think the police need to revise their training. Yes and no. However, some of these situations, now to us, some of these situations do not seem like a lethal situation, and then they become one. But again,
we're not there.
We're not there. And also, when the police are telling you to stop moving and you keep moving, in their minds, you are, suddenly a criminal because you're refusing to cooperate.
But you would think, with the high profile and the attention that is put on these, quote, unarmed, end quote, Black men being shot, whether they're unarmed or not, an extraordinary number of them are shot. You would think the police would think 3, 4, 5 times before doing it.
At some point, I guess you'd have to congratulate the police.
Or wouldn't do it.
You'd have to congratulate the police who are still doing their jobs because, you know, after the protests and all that sort of thing, I think if I were a policeman in Baltimore or Charlotte or Tulsa or Minneapolis, I think if I saw... Like, let's say that I saw a black motorist run a red light, I might just turn the other direction.
Really?
Yeah, I think I would be very wary of pulling.
Let him get away with breaking the law.
Well, there again, like I said, you have to congratulate the police for continuing to do their jobs.
Yep.
But, I think I would try to just avoid the situation altogether, which means I wouldn't be a very good cop.
How do we fix this?
Good question.
How do we get that turnaround?
It's got to be both sides. Here are some simple things. Okay, nobody gets shot if nobody has a gun, but on the other hand, guns are in our Constitution. We have a right to have them.
Yep.
So the only way to solve that problem, you'd have to change the Constitution. Too many people don't want to do that. It's not going to happen.
Right. It's not going to happen.
So what you've got to have then, maybe you've got to have procedures where everybody knows that when they get pulled over, here's exactly what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't get out of your car and start chatting with somebody. And the thing is, the more casual you act to me during a stop, the more I would think you're not guilty of anything. Because if you get out and act like you're completely relaxed when you're being pulled over, you know, then you probably have nothing to hide, right?
Yeah, I know. But if you're pulled over for the third time in a week just for driving home, it's going to get to you.
Oh, I'm sure it does.
It's going to get to you.
Yeah.
It can't help it.
The times I've been pulled over, I probably looked guilty because by the time the guy got to the window, I was probably sweating.
Well, and how do you feel?
Assuming I wasn't anyway.
How do you feel when you get pulled over once every 6, 7 years? You don't like it.
No, you don't like it at all.
But if it happens 3 times a week, you're going to like it a lot less.